This is my song. Every day, every moment, every minute, and every hour, we're writing our story. It's up to us to be diligent to make sure that we're writing something that's worthy to be read. I say it every week. I think it's the biggest lie that's told on Sunday mornings. I won't be before you long, but I mean that today because we have business to do. I had something prepared and it just kind of all went out the window, so we're going to just kind of come off the cuff this morning from the Book of Psalm. I should say not a Book of Psalm, the 127th Psalm. Pastor William and I need to have a conversation today. And I'm going to let y'all eavesdrop on that, if that's all right. Pastor, I grew up in Stroudsburg. And if you go down onto 3rd Street in Stroudsburg, there's a grocery store called ShopRite. If you look across the street from ShopRite, you'll see a little white church. That's called the Christian and Missionary Alliance Church of Stroudsburg. That church building used to be my great-great-great-grandfather's house. He was a freed slave from a plantation in Richmond, Virginia at the age of 14. Could not read or write his name. Got on the train in Virginia and got off because it stopped in East Stroudsburg. He rode it as far as he could ride it. Got off the train, met a female missionary who taught him to read and write through the Bible. He founded a church inside of what was later to be his home, and they celebrated 101 years of continued service this past August. Stroudsburg, amen. So I was sitting here thinking about it, took me back to Stroudsburg and how glad I was to leave. And all the stuff that I left behind, that I thought I left behind, but your baggage come right along with you, doesn't it? So anyway, we're going to talk today on the subject, "Except the Lord Build the House." The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are my strength and my redeemer. Pray with me today. I was not feeling well yesterday. I was up. I think I slept maybe about 2 hours last night. I just had chest pain all over the place, but I'm coming up a year on this dissolvable stent, and they told me that I would experience some discomfort about 12 months in. So I'm not sure if that's what it is, but if it's still there a little later on, I'm going to go to the doctor this afternoon. But so I'm not going to do a lot of hooping and hollering. You and I are going to have a conversation. And if it gets to y'all, then it gets to y'all. Amen? "Except the Lord build the house." We read from the 127th Psalm this morning, and I want to just go over a little bit of it with you. It says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for he has given his beloved sheep." It says, "Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that have a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Except the Lord build the house." So I ask you, Pastor William, if you were to build a house and you were deciding that you were just going to build a house and you were just going to wing it, you like me have probably watched enough HGTV, enough DIY stuff that you think that it's easy and you can probably build a tiny home or a house or a she shed or a man cave in about 38 minutes. And if it's, depending on what show it is, 24. What you don't see is the laboring and things that go on behind the scenes, and the months and months of work and months of preparation that it takes to just show the 24 minutes of from the beginning to the end. And you know, sometimes we do that, don't we? And as foolish as it would be to build a home with no blueprints, consider building one's life or one's church without a blueprint. Stay with me. Houses and churches, ministries, they come in all shapes. They come in all sizes. Some of them are pretty. Some of them are gorgeous. Some of them are cathedrals. Some of them are storefronts. Some of them are churches. Some have stained glass. Some have fake stained glass. You know, some have carpet. Some have carpet tiles. Some have big, beautiful bathrooms. And some have one like ours. A good sneeze will give you a concussion. For the ladies, if you think your room is bad, you should go into the men's room. I went in there once. I haven't been back since. I go before I get here. But my point is, a house is just a building. But a life is something that's much more important. And yet sometimes we follow with no real blueprint. Stay with me. And we're going to speak directly on the blueprint of our lives and the church. Because as a body, we're made up of many members, but we're only as strong as our weakest one. Would you agree with me on that? There's a solid blueprint that we can construct our life around, and find it in the 127th Psalm. If we focus on verses 1 and 2 together, and we can come with three principles that if we can grasp them quickly, it will help us to live a better life. God's blueprint for our life, our first point should be that He is the builder of our home. We understand that this particular psalm was written by Solomon, and he was a great builder. For those of us that know, he was one of the greatest builders, am I right, that was ever around in biblical times. He was also one of the wealthiest people, kings to live, but he also had a lot of issues in his home. Possibly because he had many wives. We'll leave that one for interpretation. But later on in his life, he built a home without a plan. And the psalmist here is not talking about God pounding nails and cutting boards of one home, but he's speaking about the building of one's life. He's speaking about how one builds their life and their family. You know, there are people who build houses, churches, and ministries without a plan or without a blueprint. And they kind of build it as they go along, how they want to do it, the way that they want to do it. And that is not wise. I know y'all want to hear something today, but I'm talking to Pastor Lynn. There are many of us here that were raised in homes that were constructed with zero planning. Amen, somebody. And no blueprints to follow. I will never air all of my family's dirty laundry, but I can tell you, I grew up in a household, and you would find this hard to believe, those of you that know me, I grew up in a household that had no blueprint. I had a praying grandfather and grandmother who loved me dearly, but they weren't my parents. I grew up in a home that had zero blueprint. They did what they want, how they wanted to do it, when they wanted to do it, and they kind of figured it out as they went along the way. When the head has no blueprint, the members suffer. When the parents have no blueprint, the children suffer. Come on, stay with me. I'm telling you, I'm almost there. It'll make sense tomorrow when you play it back. The Bible says in the book of Judges 17 and 6, in those days there was no king in Israel. Does anybody know what the B part of that verse says? And it says everyone did whatever they wanted. Someone has to be in control. People are building their homes with zero input from the master planner, paying no attention to the blueprint that God has given for the home, doing whatever they want to do, except the Lord build the house. There's a good number of adults, many of some who may even be here, who have been damaged because they lived in homes that were a near train wreck. Anybody brave enough or honest enough to say, I was one of those? I was one of those. You were one of those. You were one of those. And sang your heart out today in the house of God. Which, by the way, made me cry because I remember him when. God can do anything but fail. For one to allow God to build their church, the leader of the church must allow God to build them. This is all you're going to get from me today, so get it. I'm not going to leave you a manual. I've given you my vision, and I've prayed over you, and I know that God is in control, and he has ordained this to be so. So whatever you get today, that's all you're going to get. I'm a phone call away, and I'm not leaving you alone. But get this in your spirit. In order for God to build your church, you must let him build you also.
Amen.
Understand that God has a plan for your life. But a major aim of the church is to do everything possible to make sure those that are within it understand that God has a plan for their life.
Amen.
And at some point, it really has to start with us, doesn't it?
Amen.
We have to allow God to build our homes. We need to be leaders in our home to show our families what a blessing it is to allow God to be the foundation of our life. We have to be leaders in our home. Now, I know that this is different than it used to be. And homes are different than it used to be. Sometimes there's only one parent in the home. But when there are two, and I say this, and whether the online folks want to send me hate mail, I read them all. I don't respond to them, but I read them all. Wives, you have to allow your husband to lead. You see how quiet that got? God has a plan for all of us, and he's not going to make you follow it. But if you're not, I would ask you, how is that working out for you? Because you and I, we may not have done the same things, but we're cut from the same piece of cheese, really, which is why we meshed well together from the time that we sat down, because we did things our way, how we saw fit when we wanted to do it. And look how it worked out. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Jeremiah 29 says, for I know the plans I have for you. And this is the Lord's declaration. Plans for your welfare, not your disaster. To give you future and a hope. It says, you call me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. That was written to the people who were exiled in Babylon. Jeremiah wanted them to know that in spite of their current circumstances, that God had a plan for them. Understand that we are in a different kind of, we're in a different kind of generation. We're in a different neighborhood. We are in a neighborhood where folks do what they want to do and how they want to do it. And it is our responsibility to be a beacon of light on this corner. It is our responsibility to let folks know that when you see them, that God has a plan for them. It doesn't matter what they've done. It doesn't matter what they're doing. It doesn't matter where they've been. It doesn't matter where they want to go. All that matters is that God has a plan for them. And it's important that when we encounter folks in the world, that they see something different within us. If they walk in the door and the church looks just like the street, what incentive do they have to stay? It doesn't mean that you don't welcome folks. Yes, come as you are, but it's our responsibility to not allow them to stay that way. Get into the hedges, get into the highways, and compel others to come to Christ. But when you get them in the door, teach them about order. Teach them that God has a plan for their life. Teach them that they're worthy in spite of their drug addiction. Teach them that they're worthy in spite of their fornication. Teach them that they're worthy, that God has chosen them. We've learned in Sunday school this morning, predestined before the very foundations of the world. God loved you. Before you even got here, he loved you. It also goes on to say, before you even got here, he put things in place for you. He set aside blessings for you before you even got here, because he knew that he had enough grace and enough mercy and enough love to outdo any kind of dirt and foolishness that would ever come your way. Whatever you have that's ugly, he has more grace to cover that thing. There isn't anything that you can do, there isn't anything that you can say that will make you unworthy to be of service to the kingdom. And understand, people come in all shapes, all sizes, all colors, all ethnicities, but God's blood covers them all. Love on folks. Except the Lord build the house. Do me a favor, everybody close your eyes. Believers and non-believers, haters, spectators, reporters, and those that love the Lord. Close your eyes. Imagine that you are the pastor of Restoration Temple. And everybody in your church was just like you. Did you smile?
Yes, sir.
If you didn't, open your eyes and change. It's that simple. Amen, Walls. Amen. When one decides to build on their own, their labor, the Bible says, is in vain. Except the Lord build the house, its builders labor over it in vain. Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchman stays alert in vain. God's blueprint for the church is that he is your protector.
Yes, sir.
Unless the Lord watches over a city, the watchman stays alert in vain. In the days that this psalm was written, the security of a city was a big issue. Cities built fortified walls. They had watchmen guarding the gates. And wouldn't it be sad to spend your life savings building a house to sit back and only watch it be destroyed? In life, we depend on God to be a Glock or a Smith and Wesson, and that protects us from intruders. But if you don't know how to use the gun, a gun is useless. If you don't know how to read the scripture and understand that everything in it is there for your good, it is useless to you. If you don't understand, the Bible says it's a sword and it cuts going and coming. But if you don't pick it up, you can't do anything with it. If your people don't understand what it says, they can't do anything with it. Teach it. If I come back in 2 weeks and the church is full, I'll know that you're up here preaching a lie. Amen, Walls. When you tell folks what they want to hear, you can't get a seat on Sunday morning. When you tell them the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, but hell is a prepared place for a prepared people as well. And if you can be, you can be prepared to go to hell. You will grow slow, but you will grow. Preach the word in season and out of season. God's blueprint for the church is that he is a provider. Verse 2 speaks of where to look for the provision. Verse 2 is not a knock against hard work. It's a knock against thinking that you are the one that provides. How many sleepless nights have you had in your life when it comes to issues of having your needs met? Somebody said too many. I've had some. Have you lost sleep over the direction of the church or concern for its well-being? You haven't even stood up here yet, and I bet you've had some concerns. You've had some questions. You've had some worry. But he's a provider. He has given you everything that you need to carry out this task. And I believe that. If those of you knew how I met this man, you would think that we were all crazy. When I opened the door and he was standing there, the Lord said to me, "That's the guy." I said, "He doesn't look like I want him to look." And then he said, "Hello." I said, "He doesn't sound like I want him to sound." There's nothing wrong with the way he looks or the way he sounds. If I had arms like that, you wouldn't be able to tell me nothing. I might not even wear a shirt. Not about that. But I had a preconceived notion of what I thought the Lord was going to provide. So I know that God is in this. So when you go to sleep at night, put your head down on that pillow, go to sleep, sleep like a baby, knowing that God is in control and that it's already all right. Everything that you need, the psalmist said, everything that I need, his hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. That's a personal thing. The Lord is going to be faithful to you. Hold on to that thing. The psalmist reminds us that when we trust God, he will take care of us. He will bless our efforts. And if we are good stewards over that which God has entrusted to us, he'll bless us with even more. Somebody say, prove it. Come visit us next Sunday at 11:30. It may not look like much, but you should have seen it when we got here. Anybody remember? You remember. This brother came in and he looked and he said, that's how I knew he loved me for real. Because he didn't turn around and walk out the door. Like I said, it doesn't look like much now, but you should have seen it when we got here. There was holes in the wall. The ceiling was falling down. Even though the bathroom was small, it wouldn't even fit the use.
Amen.
We came in, we put our hand to the plow. We didn't look back. We were thankful to have something that was our own that we didn't have to share. And we were a good steward over what God gave us, and he blessed us with more. Be a good steward over 46 North 13th Street so we can move you into something bigger and more beautiful. Amen?
Amen.
This is just the beginning. 2 years, this should be a neighborhood outreach center. Come on, somebody. Speak those things as though they are. Take care of what you have. Matthew 6 and 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Seek first the kingdom, and all the stuff that we think we need to chase after will come. We'll walk in overflow. We'll be able to pick and choose what blessing we're going to walk in that particular day. If you don't believe it, ask me. I remember when I used to have to go to the store and buy the $4 Hungry Man dinners because I could divide them up and I could eat for 3 and 4 days off of $4. And now I can pick and choose what car I want to drive when I come out my driveway. Come on, I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you that God is good. He's faithful. And if you seek first the kingdom, all the stuff will come. Somebody should have shouted on that. Building a life and family without God's blueprint is a surefire way to damage those within the body. I've given you my vision. Now it's up to you to carry it through. Not with reckless abandonment, but carry it through. With a point, with a vision to grow the restoration to the city campus, to reach those that we can't reach, to speak the language that we can't speak, to let folks know that God loves you, to let people know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. This church was founded on 1 Peter 5 and 10, and I think it's appropriate for you. The Bible says this, that after you have suffered a little while. Now here's where, this is where y'all can eavesdrop if you want, but this isn't for you. I'm talking to you. The Bible says that after you have suffered a little while. After you have suffered a little while. That the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, he will himself, the Bible says himself, he's not sending an angel, He's not sending the comforter. It says himself will restore, confirm, strengthen, and then establish you. I'm talking to you because what happens with elevation comes persecution. And all of your demons are going to pop up out the closet where you thought that they were laid to rest well. And when you lay down at night and you close your eye, the first thing the devil is going to do is he's going to tell you you're not worthy because of this, that, or the other. He's going to try to put doubt in your mind that you're able to pastor and lead a group of people. He's going to put doubt in your mind that's going to say you don't have enough relationship to get a word out on Sunday. He's going to put doubt in your mind, and he's going to say, all they're looking at is who you used to be, not who you are. That is how doubt creeps in. But remember that the Bible says, after you have suffered a little while, and you and I, we have suffered, and our little while is over. Come on, can I get a witness? Our little while, it is over. Because we're worthy, amen? We have been called, we have been set apart to do this thing for such a time as this. And the Bible says that after we've suffered a little while, that God himself will come down, he will strengthen you, he will restore the broken areas in your life, and then he will, all said and done, he will establish you. The Bible says that he will do that. And understand, just because you have enemies, just because you have folks that talk about you, because you have folks that are going to remind you who you were and where you came from, tell them that the Bible says he prepares a table, help me out, before me, hallelujah, what? In the presence of my enemies. So do what you want to do, say what you want to say. I'm going to serve him, I'm going to preach, and I'm going to do this thing for such a time as this. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. You've got to let God work for you. There's no more fighting. God will do the work for you. When something rises up, sometimes it's not always an attack. We give a lot of extra play to the devil that he doesn't deserve. Sometimes it's just conviction. Oh, that's an attack of the enemy. No, no, that was the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Get it right. Don't give him so much power. Sometimes the Lord, it's just the Lord talking to you. We're real quick to say the devil did it. No, we did it because we wanted to do it. We said it because we wanted to say it. That was our flesh rising up. Let God use you. When you feel discouraged, remember that God is able. Let me share this with you. And I shared it earlier, and it just kind of makes sense. When you feel discouraged, because it's going to come, remember what I said, that you have everything that you need to get this done. When I feel discouraged, I remember that there was a man named Reverend William F. Johnson, who was my great-great-granddaddy, that overcame unsurmountable odds and circumstances. He went on to found a church that his legacy lives on, even right now. They're in service right now. Understand that when you feel discouraged, that there was a little short guy, 5'7", and his name was Tim Beville. And when you feel discouraged, remember that there was a young guy who overcame unsurmountable odds and circumstances. Your doctor shared a testimony that he should have been dead. I should be dead. I shouldn't even be standing here.
Amen.
I'm a 4-time cancer survivor. I am a 4-time stage 4 cancer survivor. And they told me that I would not live to see 25. If the Lord let me see October 11th, I'd be 45 years old. I shouldn't be standing here, but God is able. And here's the thing. If he can do it for me, he'll do it for you. You're worthy for such a time as this. I need you to get in your spirit that you have been predestined for this right now in this space and in this place. I need you to hold your head up. I need you to walk tall. I need you to stand firm. I need you to understand that you are God's chosen one. Walk in that thing. Hold your head high. Preach when they don't want to hear it. Smile when you don't feel like smiling. Serve when you don't feel like getting out of the bed. And watch God open up the windows of heaven for you. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. I'm the senior pastor, and the buck stops here. But the Lord is in charge of this house. And I answer to him. The Lord is in charge of this. We're going to walk through this thing together. We're going to build this thing together, being led by the Holy Spirit. Come what may. I'm ready. Are you ready, son? Accept the Lord, build the house. Get that in your spirit when they talk about you. Just say, accept the Lord, build the house. When they say, what is the pastor? Accept the Lord, build the house. When folks turn their back on you, let the Lord build the house. Maybe somebody needed their seat. Amen? Accept the Lord, build the house. When folks betray your trust, I'm talking from experience. Let the Lord build the house. Folks come, folks go. Folks come and stay, some for a little while. Some will stay until they lay you out. When folks go, let them go. Love on them, pray on them. If it's the Lord's will, he'll send them where he wants them to be. Amen? They don't belong to us. We're just shepherds. If you can get fed better around the corner and across the street, what do you need? A letter? What can I help you with? Go let folks go where they need to go. Don't try to hold on to something that God is trying to pull out of your grasp. Let the Lord build the house. I can't tell you how many storms in my life have my fingerprints all over them because I was trying to hold on to something that God was trying to move out of my life. Be led by the Spirit. It's all going to be all right. So I say to my eavesdroppers this morning, who's building your house? Come on, somebody. Who did the foundation? Come on, somebody. Is your foundation on a solid rock? Y'all aren't talking to me today. Y'all want to be Baptist today. So we'll say, who is the rock? Amen. Come on and pray with me, and then we'll close it out. It says the rock is Jesus. Amen. Somebody shout Jesus.
Jesus.
Come on, somebody shout Jesus.
Jesus.
Come on, let's rise to our feet and put our hands in the air and just shout Jesus.
Jesus.
Because the Bible says that he is the rock. Amen. If you need a friend, he is the friend to the friendless. If you need a mother, the Bible says that he is a mother to the motherless. He is a father, come on, to the fatherless. He is your joy in a time of sadness. Come on, somebody. My grandmama used to say he's a doctor in a sick room. He's a lawyer in a courtroom. Understand, family, whatever you need, God's got it. Come on, somebody, and say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says he is a keeper. He is a provider. He is a way maker. Y'all act like you don't know him today.
Amen.
He is the chief cornerstone. Is that right?
Yes.
He's the stone that the builders themselves rejected. Isn't that just like us? Had perfectness right around us, and we want to use a crooked stone. If you build a foundation with the wrong stone, you just said it earlier today, you'd be half off.
Yes, sir.
You get to the top, it looks good from the bottom, And it didn't look good when you're standing in the middle of it. But when the world is looking outside and looking, they're looking at your crooked temple.
Yes, sir.
What do I want to go over there for? They can't even build a church. All right, amen, somebody. The Bible says he's a lily in the valley, a bright and a morning star. I'm talking about Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Every head bowed and eye closed as we open the doors of the church. It says that he is our Alpha and our Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. The Lamb of God, mighty in battle, King of Israel. He is the Lord God Almighty. Do you know him today?